I know it's here somewhere. Finally. Oh, it's time for the doc. You're listening to Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Take it away, doctor.
Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. It's time once again for Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. I'm so glad you could join us this week. We're going to be getting into some things that are geeky and strange and very geek culture-y. What do I mean by geek culture-y? Well, that's things that are culture for geeks. Which means that most people would go, what? What? So hang in there. We are proud members of the Tech Podcast Network, techpodcast.com. If it's tech, it's right here on Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. And also, we are proud members of the International Association of Internet Broadcasters, which is hard to say fast. Sometimes I should try to do that, sometime maybe 10 times fast. No. Not a good idea. Okay. I have, as usual, my Chromebook here. There's my Chromebook logo. Chromebooks are perfect for this kind of thing, where you're trying to keep up with what's going on the show, and you have a touch screen, so you can scroll. So we will start with the things that are upon the blog. The blog, of course, is drbill.tv, drbill.tv, where all the action occurs. More action than you could possibly imagine. Anyway, first item this week. Netflix via Google Chrome now works in Linux. So if you have Ubuntu Linux and you have Chrome installed, then Netflix just plain works. No fancy mucking around in hyperspace. Yes, that's a Hitchhiker's reference. A very strange Hitchhiker's reference, but we'll go with it. Anyway, the point is, there were all kinds of tricks to get Netflix to work in Linux. Now, it just plain works with Chrome. Chrome, of course, is, by the way, Netflix is supported in Chrome 37, which is the version number, which runs on up-to-date Ubuntu installations of 12.04 LTS, 14.04 LTS, or later. So, there you go. Now, why do we care? Well, previously, users had to tweak the user agent string in Chrome to fool Netflix into thinking the browser was Internet Explorer. And that's practically sacrilegious. You know what I'm saying? You're using Linux, you're using Chrome, and you have to tell Netflix that it's Internet Explorer in order to get it to work. I mean, it'd be distasteful, you know what I'm saying? So, other users had tried running a Netflix desktop app through Wine, a popular Windows software emulator. Wine is not an emulator, technically. While many Linux users are presumably savvy enough to jump through an extra hoop or two, it's nice that they no longer have to. So those of us out there that use Linux on a regular basis and still want to see our old Star Treks, I just got through binge-watching Star Trek Deep Space Nine, after which I binge-watched Star Trek Enterprise. Thank you. My wife's back there going, Enterprise. I'm thinking Captain Archer, Trip, thinking of all the people on the show as characters, but not the name of the show. But anyway, so. And now we're binge-watching Stargate. How cool is that? That's not Star Trek, but it has Star in the title, so we're good. Okay, next item, the TriCaster Mini. This is cool. Now, you know that I do the show here without a TriCaster, without any sort of highly technical, cool, live, switching between cameras, because there's no need to, really. But beyond that, I don't have the bucks to get it. Even the new TriCaster Mini, which is awesome, is still $5,995. And that's the cheap model. If you get all the bells and whistles, it's going to be more than that. My camera that I'm using right now that I'm pointing at, I paid probably around, $450 for. And my lighting outfit here, which is, if I show you the lights, it'll make my lighting all wonky, so bear with me. See that umbrella there? I know. I am crazy to even try that. Let me see if I can get it back here. There we go. The lighting system here is a Cowboy Studio lighting system, which I got on sale for about $50. You can't beat that. You know what I'm saying? And the microphone is a MXL 990. I remembered. Whew. Thanks, Fred. Fred saved me on that one. Anyway, PopGuard brand. Is it PopGuard brand? I can't tell. It's hard to see without my glasses. You know what I'm saying? I sometimes have to use my glasses when I want to see things close up. Anyway. But it's a PopGuard. So there's not a whole lot of cost to all of this that I'm using right now. Now, my wife would disagree. Because she would say, yeah, but what about all the 45,000 microphones that you bought before you settled on this one? Well, they're around here, all over the place. And the 4 or 5 cameras, and the, yeah, I know. I am a perfectionist when it comes to my camera stuff. It's many years of being a photographer that led to this situation. Anyway, the point is, the TriCaster Mini, see, I got way off course. The TriCaster Mini is awesome, and I'd love to have one to play with, but there ain't no way. Okay, so watch the YouTube video here of Robert Scoble being shown a demo of the TriCaster Mini Video Studio System, and you'll see all the reasons that it's awesome, but not for podcasters like myself that are just hanging in there. Know what I mean? Okay. By the way, the system that I have here now, awesome. You can see all the little individual beard hairs. Not that you'd want to, but you can. It's just that sharp. Okay. Also, you can see my insane eyes. Yeah. Okay. So, wouldn't it be cool to have a quadcopter? Zing! Yeah, that's the next item here. A hawk attacks a guy's quadcopter. Quadcopters are awesome. They can fly around and very stable, and they can carry a camera, as his did. And a hawk thought it was very uncool that it was encroaching upon his airspace. So he attacked it. So check out this video. It's pretty awesome. This is in Magazine Beach Park in Cambridge, Mass. Massachusetts. And so it's pretty cool though. You pretty much have to see it. Okay, just for grins, I'll quickly play just a moment over here. But not so much as to get in trouble with YouTube. Okay. Whew. So, now if I'm not here next week, you'll know that that was just too much for YouTube. Okay? Sorry, guys. Not my fault. Okay. Yes, Fred. Fred says it is too your fault. Yeah, well. Okay. Fair use. I claim fair use. All right. Geek Software of the Week. Guess what? It's too late, Fred, once I've said it. He was busy thinking that it was my fault. And so he didn't quite get the Geek Software of the Week drum roll in on time. Is that a first? No. Okay. Not a first. But it's rare. Fred, of course, is my imaginary friend. He's not really here. But he's handy. As you saw, he reminds me of things, and he does the drum roll. And he's going to be really miffed at me the rest of the day because he missed it. Not my fault. Okay. Geek Summer of the Week is Clementine. Oh, my darling Clementine. You are lost and gone forever. Dreadful sorry, Clementine. Yes, well, you knew I had to do that. It was a requirement. I'm sure it's in my contract somewhere. Anyway, the point is, Clementine is for Linux and Windows. So this Geek Software of the Week is both for Linux and for Windows. Windows. That brings back memories. Yes, there really was an operating system called Windows. It was Linux, but it was made to look exactly like Windows and operate like Windows. Didn't last long. But anyway, wow. Slip of the tongue, and actually, it turned out to be quasi-accurate. Anyway, Geeks All the Way, Clementine. This is recommended by Rod, who watches the show, along with a few others. I mean, the others that do. And he actually enjoys the show. Bless his heart. Good on you, Ron. I appreciate it. Also appreciate you sending me your list. He actually sent a list of potential Geek Software of the Weeks. So I might be dipping into that little treasure trove a few more times in the future. But anyway, this one is interesting because it is a music player. Now, in my Linux distro installations, I typically use VLC to play my audio files and my video files. VLC will play just about anything, and I love VLC. But the one thing VLC does is just play a file. It doesn't organize the files, you know, and keep them in such a way that you can actually find albums and, you know, songs that you're looking for. That's part of what Clementine does. It not only plays the audio, but it also will tie into internet radio like Spotify, Grooveshark, Icecast, SoundCloud. If it plays Icecast, it'll play Shoutcast stations as well and so forth. So, pretty cool. It'll also play songs that you've uploaded to Box, Dropbox, Google Drive, and OneDrive. That's pretty cool. So, create smart playlists, dynamic playlists, tab playlists, Cue Sheet support, play audio CDs, virtualizations from Project M. Visualizations, I should say, not virtualization. I'm a virtual kind of guy. Sometimes virtualization just pops into my brain unwarranted. But this is virtualization, visualization. See, I did it again! Oh well. What can I say? I support VMware and Citrix, and so I'm just always doing virtual things. And I have a virtual friend, Fred! Yes. Okay. Next and last item. Top dollar for old comics. I'm a comic collector from way back. Back in the day when, you know, they had comics. Comics were only 10 cents. Actually, I don't remember when comics were 10 cents. I don't go back that far. But I do remember when they were 25 cents. They're worth much more than that now. Particularly those old comics that were worth 10 cents. Like Action Comics number 1. We'll get to that in a minute. But they have a list here from the Daily Dig about all the various comics that were available at the New York Comic Con. And there was a $17,000 original Palitoy Star Wars figure complete set from the 1970s. Now, from my point of view, the 1970s was just yesterday. I mean, I remember the 1970s quite well. I was in high school and college during those years. You know? So, I could have bought those Star Wars figurines back then, stuck them in a box, pulled them out and had $17,000. Dude, don't you wish you could go back in time and say, hey, here's what you got to do. Wow. Two comic books that were made called Gobbledygook. Gobbledygook 1 and 2. Only 50 copies were made. And they were used to actually finance the creation of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So anyway, those comics, of which only 50 were made at the time, are now $20,000 for 1 and 2 together. Wow. Pep Comics number 22, with a grade of 8, 10 being the absolute best it could possibly be. No one could actually reach a grade of 10, probably, but 9 point something would be almost pristinely perfect. So this would be an 8 in the grade category. That comic was $35,000. It was the introduction of Archie. Whoopee. Okay. But Strange Tales 110 with a GC grade of 9.4, which would be like awesome. That would sell for $45,000. That was the introduction of Doctor Strange, by the way. Then a Robert Crumb complete 4-page story. Original art, $65,000. $75,000 for the original art, not the actual comic book, but the original art panels from Spider-Man 32. The cover, original cover of Spider-Man number 300, which I actually remember that issue, but the original artwork, $250,000. $550,000 for Detective Comics number 27, restored to a CGC grade of 9.4, which was the introduction of Batman in 1939. And then finally, Action Comics number 1 with a CG grade of 9. Wow. I mean, that's pretty much pristine. The introduction of, yes, you guessed it, the Man of Steel himself, Superman. $3.2 million. $1 million. Wow. You know what I gotta do? I gotta go down to the basement and dig out all my boxes of comic books and sell some of the suckers and make some money. Dude. You know, might even end up with enough for that TriCaster. Nah, I probably wouldn't get the TriCaster because this is working well as it is now. Okay? Dude. But isn't that wild? Comic books. I wish I had stuck back some more comic books when I was growing up. I actually have. I probably shouldn't say this on the air. But I actually have the entire original set of Star Wars comic books. Yes, they were made in the 70s and 80s after the actual Star Wars movies came out. They turned them into comic books. Marvel did. And I have it signed by some of the original artists. Yes, and they're in plastic bags. The whole set. I have no idea what it's worth. Some of you out there that are listening are going, drool, drool. I also have the first 12 original issues of Nova from Marvel. I kid you not, I have them. Now, I did open it and read them, so they're not absolutely pristine, but they're in pretty good doggone good shape, and I put them in, you know, plastic bags to protect them now. So, I like comic books. I like superheroes. Yes. I myself pictured myself as a superhero. You can see the picture over here. The Adventures of Webmaster. Yes. We can dream. Okay. Enough of that. By the way, that is from 2005 when I was Webmaster for Guilford County. And I thought it was cool, The Adventures of Webmaster. How cool is that? So, that's it for this week. Remember until next time that the doctor is out of here. Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon is a production of DrBillBailey.net with all the honors, rights, and privileges thereunto appertaining.